Chapter 10, Raising DVDs in the CL. Crunch. The hairs on my arms stand at attention. Just a twig, I tell myself. Nothing to be afraid of. Crunch. I run a little bit faster, just in case. I'm not sure why I thought it was a good idea to sneak through camp in the middle of the night. Oh, right. It's because I desperately and immediately need Mary's help. I've finally found the path that leads between bunks 1 and 3, and am now trying to make my way to bunk 2 without a wild bear eating me first. Ha-ha! There aren't really any bears at camp, right? Here it is, bunk 2. I creep up the wooden steps and close the invisibility shield, aka the enchanted umbrella. I gingerly open the door. Now all I have to do is figure out which bed is Miri's. I tiptoe around the cabin, peering into the top bunks at the faces of Miri's sleeping bunkmates. In the moonlight, I recognize my sister's pale green comforter at the back, near the bathroom. Miri, I whisper. Miri, wake up! When she doesn't respond, I poke her in the forehead. My sister opens one eye.
What are you doing?
I need your help. Come outside with me.
What time is it?
She murmurs.
3 a.m. Are you crazy?
No, just desperate. You are right. My powers are out of control. I need your help. I need some training.
Now?
She asks. You can't exactly train me in broad daylight, can you?
We're not allowed out of the bunks in the middle of the night. We're going to get into trouble.
We won't if nobody sees us.
What if someone's up?
Don't worry. I took care of that. I wave our invisibility shield over her bed.
You brought that to camp?
Of course I brought it.
You didn't tell me you were bringing it.
What, is she crazy? Did you think I was going to leave a great toy like this at home? I think not.
Come on.
She climbs over the edge of the bed.
Am I allowed to get dressed?
She's wearing her blue Cookie Monster pajamas, which I can't believe I let her pack. At least she doesn't wear those to breakfast.
Nah, let's just go.
She grumbles and stuffs her feet into her flip-flops. Before we leave, she snags a gray pencil case from the shelf.
You're not going to have time to write,
I snort.
It's A squared. Camouflaged.
No way!
I stifle a laugh as we hurry out the door. Why would she choose a pencil case? She's such a geek. I open the umbrella. Presto invisible.
You didn't happen to pack our night vision helmets, did you?
She asks. Darn, I forgot about those. No, unfortunately, but I brought something just as helpful. I wave a flashlight in the air.
Where are you taking me anyway?
Mary asks.
How about the CL?
It seems private. And the counselor's lounge is carpeted, so I'm less likely to get hurt if training involves my crashing to the floor. When we finally get there, we open the creaky door and then sit cross-legged on the saggy couch. Mary places the pencil case on the ground, sticks her hand into her pocket and takes out a bag of white flour.
Flour? What is that?
Baby power. Quiet for a sec.
She clears her throat and says,
From a caterpillar, a butterfly you became. Now let this powder absorb your change.
As she sprinkles the powder on the pencil case, it stretches and morphs into A squared. You know when you scrunch the paper wrapper off a straw and then drop water on it to watch it unravel? That's what it looks like.
Very cool.
She heaves the insanely heavy book onto her lap. From the outside, it looks the size of a regular hardcover novel, but it's actually 2 feet deep, and it smells sour, like month-old milk.
Okay, where do you want to start?
Good question.
Well, what's the problem?
I don't know. I can't seem to control my powers. Like tonight, Raph was about to kiss me during the movie.
Thanks a lot for saving me a seat.
Mary, you shouldn't be sitting with your sister. You should be sitting with your friends. She shrugs.
I don't have any.
My heart sinks like a pound of lead. Even though she wasn't exactly Miss Popularity at home, I had kind of been hoping that things would be different here. But why? She shrugs.
I told you. They've all been friends since they were 7.
But so is my bunk.
Maybe,
she squeaks.
But the girls in mine aren't interested in meeting new people.
The high-pitched tone of her voice makes the back of my neck stiffen. Are they being mean? Her face flushes.
A little. Whatever. I don't care. It's not like I have so many friends at home.
Not having friends is not the same as people being mean to you. Her eyes cloud over.
I don't want to talk about it.
You have to. I'm your sister. She starts picking at her nails, and this time I don't stop her.
Well, yesterday I woke up and they were dipping my fingers in hot water to try to make me wet my bed or something. And today someone put shampoo in my running shoes. But maybe that was an accident.
Are you kidding me? How does shampoo accidentally end up in someone's sneakers? My cheeks burn, and I slam my fist into a couch pillow. Ow. I don't have much of a right hook.
Whatever, Mary says dismissively. It doesn't matter. Honestly, I don't care. I don't want to waste time worrying about it. I want to be able to focus on helping the homeless when I get back, so I need to spend my free time researching.
But, Mary, they're only ostracizing you because you don't make an effort to talk to them. She rolls her eyes.
But I don't even like them. Why would I make an effort?
Maybe if you talk to your counselors,
that would only make things worse.
She juts out her chin.
I didn't come all the way here in the middle of the night to discuss my problems. Can we get back to yours?
Although I'd rather keep talking about her, I don't want to upset her. My powers are out of whack, I tell her, changing the subject. When I use my raw will, what I want to happen doesn't always end up happening.
That's what A squared is for.
I know, but it's not just that. When I get emotional, my magic goes nuts. For instance, I was so nervous about kissing Raph that I zapped on the lights.
You were the one that turned them on?
Yes, it must have been me. My heart was beating like crazy and... Pause. I wasn't the only person with magical powers in here tonight. Is it possible that Mary was trying to sabotage my first kiss with Raph? Maybe she's worried that my relationship with Raph will make her feel even lonelier. Nah, she wouldn't do that to me. Well, since you didn't do it, I give her a meaningful look in case there's anything she wants to admit. It must have been me. So I need to learn to control my powers. Did you ever have this problem?
Never. I guess I'm a more mature witch.
Like, it's not annoying enough to have to ask my little sister for help. She has to rub it in. Can you check the book to see if there's some sort of control technique I can use? She spreads open the book and flips through the wisp-thin pages.
Like an exercise?
Exactly.
You need to be magic trained, like toilet trained.
Let's not get graphic.
Maybe I should find you a magic diaper.
Mary, I'd cut down on the toilet training jokes if I were you. Don't forget that I am 2 years older and therefore have a very detailed memory of the time you ripped off your diaper and peed all over the living room floor.
I found something.
Already?
I'm super quick. Give me 2 seconds to read it.
I tap my sneakered foot for 2 seconds. Finished? She ignores me. Hello?
Shush!
She continues reading and then looks up.
Okay, It'll work.
Terrific. What is it?
It's called a Magel.
A what?
A Magel exercise. You have to practice stopping the flow of your raw will. It'll make your magic muscles stronger.
How do you do that?
She points to the umbrella, which I left by the door. See if you can mind lift it.
I'm willing to play along here, but since the umbrella is my favorite toy, can I use something else as my guinea pig?
She stands up. Try the couch. It looks like it's already been through several Magels.
Too heavy. She spins around, eyeing Magelable items.
The TV.
What if I drop it? She skips over to the DVD player and picks up the Harry Potter DVD case.
Light enough for you?
She tosses it onto the carpet.
Go ahead.
Hello, pressure. I focus on the case. I try to summon all the energy I can feel inside me, and suddenly my arms are covered with tiny goosebumps. I try to direct all this energy at the case. Fly, Harry, fly! And the plastic starts to quiver. It's working. It lifts just an inch off the ground.
Freeze!
Mary orders.
Keep it right there. Can you do that?
I try to do that, but the case is trembling like crazy. My arms and legs are shaking, and the next thing I know, the case pops open, soars to the ceiling, then crashes back to the ground. Whoops, I say. Sorry, Master Yoda. I have failed you.
She giggles. You need practice.
No kidding. But can't I practice using real A-squared spells? They're easier to control, right? The words and ingredients do most of the work, so how much can I screw up?
True, they're easier to control, but they're also much stronger. And since your raw will is so out of whack, it could be dangerous. Who knows what you could wish up?
Or down, she adds, glancing at the broken DVD case on the floor. Suddenly, we hear a loud creak outside the door.
Someone's coming,
Miri whispers in a rush. What do we do? I ask, panicked. She's waving her hand toward the door.
I'm trying to, she huffs and puffs. Keep it closed.
The door's stuck,
a guy outside says.
Push harder,
says a second voice, a female voice.
The invisibility shield,
Miri whispers, still struggling with the door. Unfortunately, the umbrella is on the other side of the room.
It's too far away.
I try to use my raw will to float it over, but of course now it won't work.
Can you zap it over? Too tough,
huff.
Do,
puff.
Two spells,
huff and puff.
At once. Use your feet.
Oh, right. I forgot about those. I run over, pick up the umbrella, and ram it open just as Miri loses her battle. The door flies open as Miri dives next to me behind the umbrella.
Good job, says the female voice.
I can't see who it is, since the umbrella is blocking our view, but I recognize the voice. It's Debs. I hear the door close.
Terrific. We're trapped.
My counselor is about to make out with some guy, and I'm going to be stuck here until they're done. I think I'd rather watch my mom and Lex than listen to this.
Now give me a kiss,
I hear the guy say. He sounds like Anthony.
At least Deb has good taste.
2 hours later, Miri and I are finally free. Free, tired, and cranky. Next time we'll have to find somewhere with a little bit less traffic, I say as we cross Upper Field. Hey, look. The sun is rising over the mountains. Want to go down to the lake and watch?
Sure. Why not?
We scurry down to the waterfront. The lake is as still as a mirror, but brimming with streaks of yellow and orange and blue. We leave our shoes on the sand, sit on the dock, and dangle our feet in the cool water. I poke my sister's foot with my big toe, sending ripples through the lake. Nice, huh?
Yeah, she says almost wistfully. Tonight was fun.
Don't worry, Mir. Camp will get better.